Chair speaking, and I'm calling the meeting to order. It's actually 8:46. Michael Novick, Secretary, could you take attendance, Michael?
Okay, Carolyn Burden is here. Margie Wilkinson is here. Jane Gatewood is here. Is that correct?
Correct.
Ken Aaron is here. Tracy Rosenberg is here. Michael Novick here. Anthony Fest is here. Nancy Subaru Natomi is here. Wesley is here. Did someone say Kevin was there also? Or?
I haven't heard him yet, no. Mm-hmm.
Margie might, I think, ask for an excused absence. Or,
yes, that's right.
Emily Orndorff, not here. Bob Lederer, not
here. Hi, I'm multitasking meetings. Kevin White's here.
Oh, hi, Kevin.
Kevin White also here, okay.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, Bill is here. If you have any questions, he's here. So
I'm
you.
Ready.
But he's in the other
sorry,
room.
Who did you say is here?
I said, if you have any question, Bill Closure is in the next room in the finance.
Oh, good, thank you.
From the work group.
If you have some question or something.
So, Margie, any objections to excusing Margie Murray? Okay, that's excused then. Thank you, Michael. Any changes to the agenda for the people listening? Online, the agenda includes minutes, the next meeting date, the a special order to move into a closed session at 10 o'clock, and the subject of that would be the distribution of the request for proposals. Old business, five items under that. One is the request for proposal draft. Two is the staff registry progress report. Three is the timetable for the entire elections process this year. Four is the membership campaign, and five is sample ballots. And adjournment is set for 9:55. Are there any proposed changes to that? Or
I was going to say the timetable is part of the RFP, so if you want to just go ahead and put that right after the RFP, that would be convenient.
That's a good idea. All right, so we'll make that number two and the staff registry number three.
And I think that there's some discussion about the distribution that needs to happen in open session, so if we could just plan on 5 minutes to discuss the distribution of the RFP before going to staff registry, that would be also helpful.
All right, we allowed 30 minutes for the RFP.
Okay.
I suspect
including
we'll need more than that.
Okay.
That's
so the RFP draft and some discussion in the open session about the distribution process, okay?
Okay, thank you. Distribution process. We'll add that and add 10 minutes for that. All right, any other changes? All right, the agenda then is approved. Thank you. And are there any minutes to approve, Michael? Or are we
waiting? Sorry to report that I'm still working on the minutes of the last two meetings, which I missed parts of, and I got notes, and I'm trying to go over the audio report, the audio file, KPFTX, and synthesize them. So I tried to have them out, but I couldn't get it done prior to this meeting. Sorry.
All right. That's all right. If we could have some maybe tentatively... Oh, it's hard to give them to the PMB without approval. I'd like to bring minutes to the in-person meeting, but all right, so we'll do them at the next meeting.
I'll try to have them next couple of days.
All right, no problem. The next
Wesley.
Meeting...
Excuse me? Yes, I didn't hear a roll call. This is Bethune. I'm on the call.
Oh, thank you, Wesley. I think Michael counted you.
Yeah, we counted you because Nancy said you were right there just...
Okay. Thank you.
We heard your voice. The next meeting would be the first Tuesday, as usual, in February, which is February 7th. Any request to change that, which is more or less our standing meeting date?
What date was that?
Tuesday, February 7th. It's the first Tuesday of the month.
Yeah, but we just have a local meeting. I guess we could do what we're doing right now.
Oh, really?
Oh, that's awful. I really would like to concentrate better on one thing instead of two meetings. Oh.
What time did your local meeting start?
Well, we had a development from 6:30 to 7:30, and finances just started from 7:30 on.
No, I mean on the 7th, your LSB meeting? Is that the LSB meeting?
No, it's development at 7:30.
Oh,
it's going to be finance, just like it is tonight. Same thing. Oh, gosh.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's difficult, isn't it, to change national? I will try to ask our finance and our development to change.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. That would be helpful. Any other conflicts or requests to move it? I do hope we don't have to move it. It is a problem. All right. Thank you, Nancy. If you can rearrange your schedule a bit, that would be helpful.
Yeah, I'm going to ask Teresa and Jim Boyd.
There's nothing on the calendar yet for February.
Yeah.
I guess
for our next meeting?
Mm-hmm. I guess nothing on there. Okay.
I'll put it on then after this meeting. Special order closed session at 10 p.m. Any changes to that? I allowed 30 minutes. I hope that's enough. And 10 p.m. Times. All right, for everyone.
Can someone text me on that? Is there, there's a separate login code or something for that one? Is that right?
Oh, I didn't send it. I thought I sent it out to the.
You may have sent it out, but I don't have computer access where I am, so if you could text it.
Okay. Could someone do that?
I don't have it. Unless you just sent it. No, we don't. We still don't have it.
Oh, dear. All right. I will. Indicates that it was sent. Let me try again then. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then when someone gets it, can you text Michael on it if you have his cell phone number? That would be helpful.
I'll give it to you over the air. I don't care. It's 323-901-4269.
Okay, thank you, Michael. Someone will try and do that. All right, any other changes or suggestions to the agenda?
This is Ken.
Yes, Ken.
There were two issues that I think we had discussed in previous sessions, and I haven't done any work on it. I thought I was going to, but I just want to make sure they don't get dropped from old business, which is the implementation of the campaign, fair campaign practices, and consideration about how many votes programmers get if they have large collectors. Come up in previous discussion, so I don't know. I was going to work with Bob Letterer on that, but I didn't convene a task force.
Mm-hmm.
Holidays.
All right, I'll put them down as 6 and 7, and we won't get to them, but at least they'll be on the agenda as old business for next time.
That's right. That's all I'm asking. Thank you.
Tell me again. One is the
implementation of fair campaign practices?
Right. That's where the rubber meets the road. Everything else is academic if we don't have protocols for handling.
Right.
We had problems with that every single year.
Absolutely.
And lawsuits and so forth.
Mm-hmm,
so,
and developing a policy.
To wait for it to happen again is like, you know, leaving the windows open when you see the hurricane coming. And the other thing is I've seen lists from a couple of stations, and some of collectives are 20 to 30 people on a program, and there seems to be the consideration that it's not equitable to have a program that airs for half hour a week or something.
I just came across an old memo on that. I don't think I sent it out to the group. I will send it to you and Bob. Are you working on this?
It was supposed to be me and Bob Letterer. I don't think he's on the call tonight.
I'm on the call.
Oh, you are?
I just joined.
Yeah.
Okay.
I believe that we had talked about, and we had some other volunteers, but I never got a list from the minutes. I don't know if it's in the minutes.
Okay, thank you. I will send this out to you, and Michael will get the minutes out to you so you can...
And if we could get that memo, that would be fantastic.
Yes, I did find something just a day or two ago, and I didn't send it to you. I will do that.
And Anthony here, I'd like to see that as well, if you would.
Maybe I'll send it to the entire group. I think we should all have this, as much of this stuff as possible. Get dredged up. All right, thank you. Any other additions or subtractions to the agenda? All right, then let's move to item one, which is the draft. We have 30 minutes plus 10 minutes to discuss the distribution. And Jane, why don't you take over this since you've done most of the heavy lifting on the draft? And I know you talked to Arlene today, so
okay. Maybe
we can go over the draft. Does everyone have a copy in front of them, I hope?
Yeah, is there anybody that does not have access to a copy of this? I'm going to read through it very, very quickly, and my plan is about every fifth sentence I'm going to pause, and if anybody would like to ask questions or concerns, they can stop at this point. My suggestion is that we, as a group, can agree essentially as we leave it tonight, with the understanding that Arlene and or the attorney may suggest some small changes, or there may be a grammatical change. So as long as nothing substantive changes from tonight, that hopefully is fine with the group. The intent of this RFP is to provide Arlene with options for engaging a professional management, election management company, to provide some or all of the services in this year's election. And the expectation is that if that occurs, that it would help eliminate most, if not all, of the big problems we've experienced in the past. So this is organized. This is a 7-page document. The first 2 pages is a cover letter, followed by the next 2 pages, which is an outline of what we expect any vendors to provide us in their proposal. And then there's a 1-page document that provides a very brief overview of the NES, the National and Local Election Supervisor functions, and then a 2-page itemization of balloting and tabulation. So beginning with the cover letter, it begins today's date, draft, January 2nd. We would hope that this could actually begin being distributed this week to qualified election management firms. Dear so-and-so, we would hope to have a name of an individual within each firm that this would be addressed to. Other avenues for getting it out are definitely something we want to flesh out tonight as much as possible. Dear so-and-so, the Pacifica Foundation, Pacifica, is a 501c3 membership-based radio broadcasting organization with approximately 95,000 members nationwide, affiliated with stations in New York, Houston, Washington, D.C., Los Angeles, and Berkeley. On or about March 1st, 2012, Pacifica will begin a process that will involve 10 separate elections where members in 4 of its 5 signal areas will elect 9 listener delegates and 3 staff delegates to serve on local station boards. Members of the 5th station will elect 18 listener member delegates and 6 staff delegates. Pacifica is now soliciting proposals from qualified election management organizations to provide all or some of the services related to these elections. We invite your organization to submit a proposal by February 3, 2012 for A, National Local Election Supervisor functions, B, Balloting and Tabulation functions, or C, some combination thereof. Please find enclosed an outline of the information needed in the proposal, followed by details of the specific services required. Proposals for multi-year contracts may be considered. The next paragraph that is in the draft I sent, I have replacement language. I'm going to read to you from that. rather than what was in the draft I sent this morning. Important, please note, the National Election Supervisor is responsible for balloting and tabulation functions. Therefore, proposals to provide some but not all election management services described in this RFP must demonstrate clear understanding of the entire scope of work required and identify the anticipated process whereby the remaining services will be fulfilled, i.e. through subcontractors, individuals, or other organizations.
Yes, that was good substitution. Thank you.
Okay. Continuing with the draft. Past elections have been via paper ballots. The successful applicant for balloting and tabulation services will have the ability to advise and guide Pacifica on processes to transition to electronic balloting. Cost proposals for balloting should recognize a likely mix of paper and electronic voting and identify with as much specificity as practical any cost differentials that may result from the actual mixture. Page two. All election processes must adhere to provisions of the Pacifica Foundation bylaws, and HTML is given for that. See Article 3, Sections 1 through 4, 7, 8, 10, Article 4, Sections 1 through 8, Article 7, all, and Article 15, all. The next paragraph I'm going to...
Hi, Manager.
Oh, hi, Manager. Glad you're here. Thank you. We're just reading the... Jane is reading the draft proposal that I sent out as an attachment today, and we're going over it line by line. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
I'm on page two of the seven-page document. The next paragraph I'm about to read, I have a small change that we may discuss at the end. Pacifica's election director, Arlene Engelhardt, will select the NES based on the analysis and recommendation provided by the Elections Committee of the Pacifica National Board. I'll finish the letter. I'm going to come back to that. Final decisions concerning a contract for balloting and tabulation services, if distinct from a contract for the NES, will be made by the NES, working with Ms. Engelhardt and the Elections Committee. The Elections Committee will evaluate proposals on a qualitative basis that will include the completeness and timeliness of the response, a review of references and related materials, interviews with senior personnel to be assigned to the project, and results of discussions with other clients. Please prepare your proposal following the format of the outline provided. Submit your proposal along with any supporting materials you would like to have considered to blank. I don't know exactly what we're going to ask people, how we're going to ask people to deliver it. We need to decide that. Key contacts for information you may seek in preparing your proposal are Ms. Arlene Engelhardt, Executive Director, will provide her email and phone contact. Ms. Carolyn Burden, Chair of the PNB Elections Committee, with her email and phone contact. And we would appreciate a response even if you decline to submit a proposal. And we're going to have, at this point, we're looking at five attachments. The proposal outline, details of services required for the NES-LES, details of services required for balloting and tabulation, 2012 elections timeline, and a summary of 2009 and 2010 elections balloting and responses. So that's the conclusion of the cover letter. I did speak with Arlene this afternoon. She read this over, and she was overall very very pleased that the committee has taken this on and is working to get proposals. She is optimistic that this approach will lead to more satisfactory elections. She did think that that one sentence, we may find a slightly better wording for it, and this is something that our work group discussed. We don't want to imply that the ED she's going to fulfill her responsibilities in selecting the NES. The bylaws is very clear that she needs to do that. But we wanted to...
Hello?
Hello, yeah. Hello?
Yes, hello?
I can't hear her anymore. I don't know what happened.
Oh, well, I stopped talking. I thought somebody else was trying to speak. I'm sorry. Is this better?
Can you hear now, Manager?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Okay,
we heard a voice, thought it was an interference. Go ahead.
So just briefly, this one paragraph, what we want to do is we want to make sure that we recognize both the ED's responsibility to actually do the selecting, but also recognize whatever the role of the elections committee is in this, we want to capture it in that one sentence. But if it's okay, I'd like to just leave it as it is for the moment with the understanding that we're going to try to fix that language. Before I move on to the proposal outline, is there anybody who would like to ask any questions or corrections other than that one paragraph?
Ken, to the stack.
And I'll get on at the end of the stack. Anyone else? All right, Ken, do you want to go ahead?
Yeah, I haven't really completely reviewed the whole proposal, but I just wanted to ascertain whether or not there was any, when you're referring to electronic voting, you should always include the phrase completely auditable, transparent, and verifiable. I don't know if that's later in the proposal in the details. That's okay. I'm not trying to be a stickler.
If
you're talking about electronic voting, you have to use the words verifiable. It can't just be on a computer. That it can't be audited and you just take people's word for it, you know.
My feeling is that we're going to want to make sure that we capture that thought at the introduction to the balloting and tabulation, which begins on page 6. I'm going to make a note right now on my copy. I'm going to put verifiable.
Transparent, auditable, and verifiable.
Transparent, auditable, and verifiable. I'm going to
auditable.
Auditable.
Right. Right. I got it.
Tibble. Auditable.
Okay. I'm going to put a highlight on that, and when we get to that section, we're going to try to figure out where exactly that belongs.
Excuse me, Nancy. Would like to be excused, and if you need Wesley and I, would you call 713-230-8455, my telephone number?
I'm sorry, give it to me again, Nancy.
Okay, 713-230-8455. That's my home phone. I brought my home phone to the station, so Wesley is already in the finance room. He's got the other lobby phone on hold with your group. Anyway, everyone, please, I feel very secure with everyone on this election. I need to go in the other room, though.
Thank you, Nancy.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
I had one more comment, Jane, yes. Anyone else on the stack before I add my 2 cents? Now, I just wondered, you said you talked to Arlene, she wanted strengthening of that one line. Exactly what is it that she asked for?
The concept that we want to get across in that sentence is that the problem is the word based. So Pacifica's Executive Director Arlene Engelhardt will select the NES based on the analysis and recommendation provided by the Elections Committee of the PMB. Now, in the work group, we discussed replacing based on the analysis and recommendations provided by the Elections Committee with just the words with input from or in consultation with the Elections Committee. But the problem with those words is that if we're actually, the committee is actually, you know, going through the process of engaging in dialogue with the vendors to try to determine, you know, who is the best fit and making recommendations, that in consultation, it doesn't really capture that because then the vendors could be thinking, well, you know, why are we dealing with the committee? So we want to do both. We want to recognize that she is the ultimate decider, but we also want to recognize the role that the Elections Committee is doing in terms of providing the analysis and the recommendations.
Hello.
Got it. Okay, thank you. Hello.
Hi, this is Margie Murray.
Oh, hi, Margie. We just gave you an excused absence.
Hi.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought maybe I could help you guys. I got into a big L.A. traffic jam. Sorry about that.
Glad you're here. Thank you. We're just reading. Jane is reading the RFP sort of every few lines and stopping for corrections. The committee has, by the way, for those of you who were not involved with it, the work group spent hours on this. Really,
I can tell.
Really
it looked great.
It's a beautiful job, I think. So I'm hoping that if you have comments, they are really substantive, and the small stuff we can worry about later, but we only have about 15 minutes left on this section. So why don't you go ahead, Jane.
Unless there's further comments on the cover letter, I'm going to move on to the proposal outline, which is organized in three sections: implementation, budget, and then information about staff in your firm. So we ask the any vendors to first please indicate which election services you propose to provide. One, national local election supervisor functions alone. Two, balloting and tabulation functions alone. Or three, a partial combination or all. The specific information to be provided in the proposal outline, then, beginning with implementation. One, describe how your company will approach the 2012 delegate elections, including staffing structure you propose to interact with Pacifica in administering this contract. Identify by names and roles all personnel who will be assigned to this project. Two, describe specific outreach efforts, if any, that you would recommend and, if approved, implement to encourage, involve, and increase participation by members in the elections. Note, failure to attain quorum has been a problem in some prior elections. Three, for balloting services, describe your system for ensuring ballot integrity, planned use of any proprietary or third-party software and or hardware such as scanning devices, computer equipment, and proposed utilization of mailing houses, printing establishments, or any other third-party vendor, including specifications of which, if any, are union shops. I think I should stop there before moving into the budget section. I think that Ken's comment should go here, perhaps in addition to the balloting page. I think for balloting services, describe your system for ensuring ballot integrity, and then our three magic words, transparent and evidence of a transparent, audible, and verifiable balloting system. Is that
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay. And I'm going to put that right with system for ensuring ballot integrity.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have one comment for you about the union shops, and actually if Bob Letter, if you could repeat for the entire group what you explained to us last time in terms of the printing of ballots, I believe, for most elections, many election management firms do it in-house and don't actually send it out to shops, union, or otherwise because of very fine standards or specifications. Is there there's certainly a desire to have any printing done at a union shop, but the issue with the printing of ballots apparently is a very it's a touchy issue in terms of standards for printing.
Did you want me to speak now?
I know that some people had brought that up. It's come up in conversation. I don't know if we, if nobody has any questions about it, we'll just move on from there.
Okay, yeah, I think you summarized it well.
Okay. So I'll move on with budget unless anybody wants to stop. All right, budget. Number four, set forth your detailed budget and fee proposal for the 2012 election, including discounts, if any, that would be applicable to each budget line item in the case of a multi-year contract. 5, provide as much specificity as practical concerning cost differentials that may result from varying mix of paper versus electronic voting. 6, identify specific costs associated with your recommended outreach efforts to encourage, involve, and increase participation by members. 7, for each line item in the one-year budget, please identify potential cost savings, if any, that could be provided through utilization of Pacifica volunteers. 8, identify specific costs, if any, associated with proposed use of software, hardware, mailing houses, printing establishments, and or other third-party vendors. Moving on to page 4, proposal outline continued. The final section is information about staff and your firm. 9, provide biographical data for all personnel who will be assigned to this project. 10, summarize your company's experience providing election services to not-for-profit entities, especially of size and complexity similar to those of Pacifica. 11, detail your company's experience providing services involving proportional representation voting systems in general and single transferable vote method in particular. 12, identify your 5 largest clients and provide client contact information for references. 13, if affiliated with any public or private election oversight or advocacy associations, please provide information describing the nature and time duration of such affiliation. 14, with regard to any member of your organization, disclose any affiliation or potential conflict of interest with former or current Pacifica Foundation members of the board of directors, employees, contractors, or consultants, and any other potential conflict of interest. 15, with regard to specific personnel to be assigned to this project, indicate any complaints against them by any government or private regulatory authority and indicate any corrective actions that have been taken by the company with respect to these persons. So that's the conclusion of the outline of information we're asking the vendors to provide, the applicants to provide in their proposals. And then the last 3 pages are the details of services required. Shall I move on?
Carolyn here. I just have one thing. I'm sorry I didn't pick this up the other day. The number 15, with regard to specific personnel to be assigned to this project, indicate any complaints. I would add to members of your organization or specific personnel, because they may just reassign people, you know, that could be potential problems but aren't specifically assigned at the time the contract is written. So I'd like to add, with regard to members of your organization and to specific personnel to be assigned.
So the beginning of 14, take that same phrase and add, and so with regard to any member of your organization, including specific...
And with regard to specific personnel, yes, thank you. Not any member assigned, but just any member at all.
Regarding complaints against them by government or private regulatory authority? Okay.
Yes.
All right, well, I'll put it in there with a highlight, and we'll double check that phrasing in particular with the attorney, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else?
Hi, this is Margie Marie. Can you explain item 6 to me under budget?
Identify specific costs associated with your recommended outreach efforts to encourage, involve, and increase participation by members. Up under number 2, under implementation, describe specific outreach efforts, if any, that you would recommend and, if approved, implement to encourage, involve, and increase participation by members in the elections. So there is thought that it's possible whatever these outreach efforts are, they might actually cost money. And if so, we're just asking them to let us know. Because that could be, it could, if these are optional things that they are suggesting that we do, maybe a special mailing, or I have no idea what they might propose. This was a suggestion from Carolyn that we ask vendors to share their thoughts with us on this topic. And
okay,
since there may be costs associated with it, that's something that we should also ask them for.
Okay, thanks. I just wanted some clarity in that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Any other questions on this section?
Okay. Anthony here.
Anthony?
This is not a big issue, but as to number 12, the firms might not identify some of their clients because they might consider that a confidential business relationship.
Yes, that's a good point. Well,
you know, it's funny. This is an I thought about that myself. This is an ambiguous sentence which they could identify your five largest clients, okay?
Contact information doesn't have to come from those five, however.
Yeah,
the way
right.
The sentence is written. And very well done, yes.
They don't have. If they have a big client, I mean, if they do work for the CIA and they don't want to tell us, well, I mean, I don't know. We're not going to.
Frankly, most of the companies that I looked at had on their website a list of clients. I don't know if they're their five largest.
Right.
But they may say, here are five, but there are others that we're not at liberty to tell you. You know, that's possible.
Mm-hmm.
All I want to know is, that's a good point, Jane. All I want to know is, do they do government work or not? You know, do they work for government entities? That's an important consideration for us, I think.
Manisha, can I say something?
Please.
Since I have not been part of it at all, just what you said, is it possible to put in this, to give us your government and non-government, you know, entities, you know, five or whatever numbers you want to just mention, that's what they are obligated to tell you because you asked them.
You think it's do people think it's important to be a little more precise? I don't have a strong feeling about this. So is there a sense that we want to be more precise about what we're asking for in terms of their clients to, for example, like Carolyn said, elicit a specific response to do you do work for governments? Is that what you were suggesting, Carolyn?
Yes.
I didn't follow you.
Well, Manajay wanted to know clients. And this came up when I called companies prior to recommending them to this committee to see if they do STV voting. One of the companies volunteered that they never do civic elections, no city, state, or federal government elections, and they were proud of that. I mean, they considered that a plus. So I think that we could probably ask that if and when we get a proposal back. Do you think it's important to put in the request? I mean, are we going to rule out anyone who does government elections?
Yeah. May I ask a question, informational?
Yes, go ahead.
What is the significance of us knowing, or if they are working with the government for anything? What is the significance for us? What are our concerns? I think that would then tell us if we want to be more specific, not specific, or whatever. What is the significance of that?
Can
are there government involvement?
Can I speak to that?
Yes. Jane?
My own feeling is that number 10 and number 11 are the ones that really ask for the things that we really want to know, and that they're the question about, you know, government or corporate or whatever, they're kind of like a side question. If the proposal describes clearly their experience providing election services to not-profit entities, especially if sites and clusters similar to Pacifica, and if they provide details of the company's experience providing services involving proportional voting systems in general and single transferable voting method in particular, whether they do it for a province in Canada or for for a union or whatever, I think that those two things, we're going to have a sense of whether this is a company that would be a good fit for Pacifica. And I think that number 12 is just basically trying to get a sense of is this company really substantial enough to handle what's ahead of them for the next 7 months. That's my take on it.
Actually,
Ken to the stack. Ken to the stack.
Yes, Ken, go ahead.
I think 10, I don't have any problem with 10, 11, 12. 13, or any of them. But the point is, I don't understand this kind of discriminatory attitude towards whether a company has a government as a client or a corporation as a client. A vote is a vote. Whether you're voting and whether they're doing the service for Macy's or the Pentagon or Sierra Club, it's a voting. It's elections.
Mm-hmm.
What do we care? You know, they do what they do. And I think any company is absolutely going to be able to give you references. So, you know, and yes, but you could say you want to certainly know that they can handle an election comparable to ours in terms of its range of complexities and procedures and protocols. But whether or not they've done STV voting for a union or short of being engaged in criminal activity like that they did, they worked for the mafia. Other than that, I can't understand, you know. I don't think that that's really appropriate to say we don't want them if they work for corporations or for the government. Ooh, the government.
You don't consider the government a criminal corporation.
What if they work for Medicaid, you know?
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean? We're not in that business.
Anthony with a comment.
What's the difference
too.
Who your clients are?
All right, that was your thing, though. Manage next, and then Anthony, yes.
You know, it's the same question. I would like to know what was discussed or in the mind of the people who raised this question. I'm sure they have good reason for it, because we can go on and you know talk about this for a long time. How we are going to write it, what language we are going to use, if people come out here, not there, but it doesn't matter. If anybody who proposed this part of it. And tell us why they propose it this way. For example, I can understand for us to ask STV voting, and also having nonprofits, so they know how nonprofits work. And if you want to know about the broadness or the size of the work, then we can ask them what size, you know, how many people, persons voting have you done? Unless there is something else is going on, none of you know, these responses haven't made it clear to us. Then we can talk about it, or we can, whatever. For those people who propose this language or this, you know, this way of looking at it, tell us why. What was behind it?
Manajay, which question in particular are you asking?
This whole question of if our government, if this or that.
Which number?
It's not in there. There's not in there.
No, but it was part of the explanation.
We need to ask.
I think if you are asking somebody to tell us, give us an answer, we have to ask a straight question so we get a straight answer. By writing a question that people can interpret it any way which they want, then we have to go lots of back and forth. What I'm saying is that if there is something that we have in mind, we should spell it out, period. So we can get the answer to that specific question.
Well, do you want to add that? Comment. Because right now it's not in here, Manager.
I didn't want, but it was explained that if you want to know if they're government, if they're non-profit, if they're union, if they're size of them, all right, and all that.
I'm sorry. If it's not in there, could we just drop it? It's taking a lot of time.
Yeah.
Okay, so we can move on. There's not any questions like that, and several people have said that they don't think there's any need for it.
Exactly.
So we're done. We're done with this section. The only thing is...
Can I make my comment?
Yes, you're next, please. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't see any stigma necessarily attaching to... A firm having done work for government, especially because it's apt to be local government. So if a company worked for a school district in New Mexico or a county supervisor election in Minnesota, that seems perfectly legit to me. And in fact, it's probably adds to their qualifications, because those kind of elections probably get extra scrutiny.
Mhm. All right. Anyone else on this issue? No. All right, then let's move on.
Okay. So that's the end of the outline of what we're asking them for. The last three pages are details of the services that are required. We have a one-page summary of national local election supervisors. There's obviously a lot more to this job. We have referred people to the bylaws. During any kind of interview process, if people get beyond the first review, we obviously have a lot more in-depth discussion about these duties. But this page is intended to provide the enough information so that people, you know, will realize the scope of these responsibilities. So designate a national election supervisor who shall, one, report to the foundation executive director and oversee all aspects of the elections and certify the fairness of all 10 elections and confirm said elections compliance with the Pacifica bylaws, and shall, two, appoint, supervise, and pay a local election supervisor for each of the five stations who shall provide on-site management of nominations and campaigning, including A, promote the elections and election timeframe to members and answer questions about the roles and responsibilities of local station board members, B, verify and certify eligibility of candidates in each of the two station elections, listener members and staff members, C, assemble statements and other required materials from all verified candidates, D, work with local station personnel and members to organize and implement candidate forums, both for live broadcast and in-person community events, E, monitor and enforce fair campaign provisions, including processing complaints of violations. Three, prepare and maintain a centralized election website with information on election processes and events and with detailed pages for each of the five stations with candidate information, et cetera. This site should be made public no later than the beginning of the nomination period and may require daily updates and discussion. Due to a very short time period between close of nominations and mailing of ballots and candidate information, attention to event preparations is critical. The NES and LESs must be very familiar with all portions of the Pacifica bylaws pertaining to the election of delegates. Allegations of campaign violations by participants in the election, including on-air hosted programs on our stations, must be addressed promptly and professionally without prejudice or appearance of prejudice. There will be cases where the bylaws are silenced. In these instances, it is essential that all supervisors stay impartial and avoid any appearance of taking sides. Questions and challenges have occurred in past elections if a candidate or candidate supporters feel the NES or LESs are not being fair or competent and or is not following the bylaws. Failure to ensure complete fairness and impartiality in accordance with the bylaws will result in exponentially increased workload on the NES and LESs.
Okay. Any questions on that section?
Moving on.
Why don't you go on again?
Moving on, balloting and tabulation, details of services required. All elections are by single transferable vote, STV. Tabulation software must be capable of handling STV ballots involving up to 50 candidates. To date, all Pacifica elections have used Choice Plus Pro, CP Pro, as the tally software, available for download with documentation without charge from votingsolutions.com. Proposals that involve alternative software will be considered if such software is capable of producing the same results as CP Pro. Tasks. One, assist general managers and development staff at each station as needed to ensure that voter lists are clean and deduped and that staff addresses are not among listener member addresses, etc. Two, prepare and maintain detailed election web pages for all five stations. Three, generate confidential random voter ID numbers within 10 distinct non-overlapping pools of alphanumeric identifiers. Four, maintain system of constantly updated database of ID numbers to identify eligible voters for each election who have not previously voted in the current election. Five, design, subject to foundation review, print and mail candidate statement pamphlets, simple voting instructions, paper ballots, including a fundraising appeal.
Point of privilege.
Yes.
This is Bethune.
Please.
Point of privilege.
Yes, Leslie.
I am so sorry to interrupt, but it is so noisy here. I cannot continue with the meeting. I am very sorry. I will listen to it online, and I'm so sorry. I can't continue anymore, but I can't hear a blessed thing.
That's all right. I'm sorry to hear that. Yeah, I hear noise in the background. Thank you.
Okay.
It'll be online.
Mm-hmm. Sorry. Bye.
Thanks, Leslie. Bye-bye.
Six, e-balloting options. Devise and post optional web-based interactive voting pages that members can access using their valid ID numbers to cast their votes electronically in one of the 10 distinct elections and have the ability to print a copy of their ballot. E-balloting system must be transparent, audible, and verifiable. Added words. Seven, mail replacement ballots, approximately 5% of original mailing, as necessary. Eight, prevent ballot stuffing, verify valid ballots. Nine, verify that quorum, as specified in Article 3, Section 7, has been achieved in each election by the appropriate deadline. 10, scan validated paper ballots, converting each into a valid image file, usually a TIFF file, and converting each image file into the form required by Tally program. If using a Tally program other than CP Pro and ballot file format cannot be tallied by CP Pro, create and provide two Pacifica equivalent .blt text files in CP Pro format, separately grouped for the 10 elections that would be tallied, with distinct and clearly identified file names to facilitate spot checks and for quality control verification. 11, e-balloting option. Convert each accepted e-ballot to a line in a text ballot file for input into the Tally program as above. The ability to integrate paper and electronic ballots must be clearly demonstrated prior to bid acceptance or by a date certain. On to page 7.
Okay.
Balloting tabulation service continued. Number 12, prepare with observers accurate verifiable tallies for each of the 10 STB elections. 13, certify election results. 14, publish election results on web pages and via email to Pacifica and local station management, Pacifica National Board, and local station boards. 15, copy ballot files to appropriate folders to be referenced individually by file name in the Tally software configuration file. 16, distribute CDR disks with images, derived ballot and configuration files, and round-by-round results to the five LESs, general managers, and chairs of the local station boards and others upon request. That concludes the main body of the document. There are two attachments that are not in this body we can move on to in just a minute, beginning with the elections timetable and then the summary of ballots. Is there any other discussion about the last session?
I guess my question, Michael, my question is around the whole question of e-balloting. I'm not clear if we're waiting to make some kind of decision about that until after we get these proposals.
Can I speak to that?
Please, go ahead, Jen.
We have a statement here that we would anticipate that in the cover letter, we say that successful applicant for balloting and tabulation services will have the ability to advise and guide Pacifica on processes to transition to electronic balloting. So we more or less saying that we see that as desirable if it can be done, as Ken said, in an accurate, verifiable, and auditable system. I think those statements kind of stand. I don't think there's any debate about those. I think that's all that this RFP says.
This is Bob Lederer.
Bob.
Yeah, just to further answer Michael's question, my understanding from what our discussions have been in the working group and definitely what I think makes the most sense is that we wait and get the different proposals, which will get into the nitty-gritty detail about how electronic voting would work, how it would be guaranteed to be all those things that we've said it must be as far as, you know, to have integrity. And then based on all that concrete detail, then we'll recommend a stance for or a or a decision for Pacifica as a whole. So, you know, whether that might be just doing one test election in one small place, or, you know, or something else. So in other words, that the decision as to how much electronic voting will be implemented hasn't been made yet, and won't be made until we get all the bids and analyze them.
Okay.
Anybody else? Any other comments on that? Okay, Jane, you want to go ahead then? There is another attachment?
Yes, this would be the... okay, I sent an email with the elections calendar. The subject was... I sent this at 11:08 this morning. The subject was agendas for EC committee. I just replied to Carolyn's post. So this is specific, the 2012 delegate elections. Do people have access to that? I can run through it really quickly, or else people can just edit this later. I think it's important that we include this summary. So I took the information Michael gave, and I'll read through the highlights of this.
May I interrupt you for a minute? Yeah, I think the details of the calendar, it is a calendar, and the dates are what they are. So I don't think there's a need to go through them except to say that there is a calendar going to be attached to this, and it's going to be edited somewhat for clarity, but the dates are fixed for the election, and I think it would be easier to read after it were edited.
It's probably about 90 seconds here for the entire thing. February 28th, deadline to complete first cleaning of membership rosters. March 1st, deadline to hire NES. March 1st to May 30th, promote upcoming elections. Remind listeners of date of record. Air PSA is informing listeners of opportunity to run and solicit candidates. Notify staff of the same. And Michael gave us a list of fund drives during this period, which I may have messed up. I listed them, but we're going to need to verify those because that's something that we want internally. June 15th or June 30th is the date of record for voters to be determined by the NES. Between the date of record and August 15th is the time to final clean of voter lists, make address corrections, et cetera. June 1st to June 30th is the nominating period. June 30th, nominations close. Stations typically stay open for nomination petition signing. July 1st, validate nominations at all stations for both classes of membership. July 1 through September 30th is the campaign period. August 15th, ballots to be mailed. September 30th, deadline for receipt of ballots. And again, Michael gave us a list of the fund drives. I combined everything from June 1st to June 30th because I was having a hard time keeping track of everything. But surely, as he put out, this is the time frame where there's the greatest likelihood of conflict between fundraising and campaigning. So unless I have any of my dates wrong, please let me know now if any of those major dates are wrong.
I got the dates from the spreadsheet that Carolyn sent around, and I believe it was, for some reason, WBAI did not give start and end dates, so that's why the ones for BA have a question mark by the month.
Okay, I'm not sure. The fund drives, first of all, I didn't get that spreadsheet.
Those dates were fixed, and I forwarded them to Michael because he was doing the timetable.
They were from the
CFO, and they're pretty well fixed.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and I'm not worried so much this evening about those dates because that's more for our own purposes. But the other dates outside of the fundraise, those are the ones that I hope I'm not wrong about. I would like to be corrected if I mentioned any dates incorrectly. So those are the major dates I'm aware of.
Okay, thank you.
And then
I think the only one issue I think is that if we don't have quorum, I believe at any individual station there's an opportunity for some kind of extension, right?
Yes,
September 30th. September 30th of whatever is a percent. Thank you. That's a good point.
But we include that.
All right. Now, last but not least, on the RFP itself was to be an attachment concerning history of voting in past elections. I sent that this morning with the first message I sent out. I sent this at 7:50.
The table went out, right?
Yeah, table. Okay,
yeah.
Is there anybody in the committee that can help get this information for me? I think it would be very helpful for all the vendors and also for us to have a summary of the information that I was looking to provide in this table is the number of members and ballots mailed for each station, the number of ballots returned and tallied. Is there anybody who could help with that? Anybody that can try to sift through past election results to fill in that table?
Yeah, we do need a volunteer to do some research. One estimate was that it would take 2 or 3 hours at most to locate those numbers and plug them into the template Jane sent around a table that's, you know, sitting there empty. Could anyone volunteer to do that for a few hours?
This is Margie. I'm willing to take a stab at it.
Okay, I can send it to you just in a plain Word document.
Okay.
Or in a table, Word table.
Thank you, Margie. How long, when do you anticipate that might be, you might be able to finish it?
Well, I mean, I'll try and do it this week. There's, you know, time being what it is.
That's fine. If we send it out without this, we'll just let people know that we're going to be providing it to people who ask for it.
That's good. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Very good. Thank you. Are there any questions, or are we ready to move to a vote on this? I think we simply need to accept the work with the corrections that Jane has indicated are coming, few as they are, addition of language.
Yeah, and with the understanding that there will be some slight correction that the attorney or Arlene might ask for and before we actually send it out. And what how this is brought up in the work group is that because it's ultimately going to be Arlene's decision, is that the PMD will need to approve the contract if it comes to that point, but actually asking for the proposals, she can just report to the PMD what we're doing. Because until there's a proposed contract, that there's not really any action required at a board level.
Any questions or comments on this? Can we assume that it's approved without objection then? Any objections? Or need to take a vote?